Now, our feature presentation.
This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. It's been 25 years since the world first felt this. Felt, not just heard. Generations of people can remember the feeling of seeing that sunrise, of watching herds of animals cross an African savanna to honor the cub who would be king. It's one thing to remake a movie, but Disney's new version of The Lion King faced a far bigger challenge, remaking a feeling.
From that day we arrived on the planet, and blinking, stepped into the sun.
The story of Simba looks better than ever with new forms of animation while staying true to the original. There will only be one Mufasa, after all.
It's the circle of life, and it moves us all.
Where does this remake fit in the Lion King's circle of life? What do audiences like or dislike about it? And what was it like updating this classic for 2019? Later, we'll meet the actors who play young Nala and young Simba. But first, joining us from West Hollywood, California, is Brooke Obie. She's the managing editor of Shadow and Act, a news site dedicated to Black entertainment. Brooke, welcome to 1A.
Thank you so much for having me back.
We also welcome your questions and thoughts about the Lion King remake. So email us 1A@WAMU.org, tweet us at 1A, or comment on our Facebook page. Brooke Obie, I wonder if you had the same visceral kind of reaction that I had when we heard that music just now.
Absolutely. It's such an iconic song, and it does transport you back to 1994. It transports you back to this feeling. I was actually 9 years old at the time. And so it was moving. It was exciting. I wasn't sure what to expect, but I knew something special was happening. And so, yes, every time you play it, even just now, you know, it kind of gets that little chill. So it's an amazing, iconic song.
Yeah, I was 14 when The Lion King came out, and I remember leaving the theater kind of shell-shocked at what I had just seen. I was still trying to process it. Do you remember how The Lion King made you feel when you saw it for the first time as a little girl?
It was absolutely a memorable experience in the movie theater. I definitely remember being traumatized by Mufasa's death. There were so many emotions. Like there was this joy with the music that was happening while I'm watching it, and there was also, you know, this intense sadness at this idea of losing a parent, and then being able the pride of being able to come back home and take your place again. I mean, it was just very inspiring for me as a child.
So the movie premiered last Friday. Talk about how it's done so far at the box office. It's been a kind of a smash hit commercial success thus far,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I mean, despite some of the mixed reviews, I mean, it's breaking records. I mean, it's you know, $500 million. So it's doing very well.
Tell us about those mixed reviews. The people who love the movie, what is it that they tend to say they love? And the people who were less sanguine about it, what is it that they're tending to criticize?
I think people were criticizing not having the same feeling like you were just expressing earlier. Having this amazing CGI, no one can doubt that the CGI is incredible, that it's gorgeous, that it actually transports you to the Pride Lands. But, you know, not feeling like maybe the lions could express the same amount of emotion that a cartoon lion could express. But the music is so amazing. And I actually wrote in my review that there are five ways that it actually improved upon the original masterpiece. So I very much enjoyed this film. And, you know, I think there's a lot of great things that they have done to improve upon the original film, starting with the cast. The cast is maybe the blackest cast that Disney has ever had in a movie.
Since Black Panther, basically.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. You know, for all of the lead roles, like this is, it's really incredible because in the original, that just wasn't the case. We had for young Simba, this amazing child actor, Jason Weaver, who could sing, he could act. He was the, he was Michael Jackson in the story of the Jacksons, The American Dream. And he was only allowed to play or only asked to sing the voice of Simba. And the face and the public promotional face of Simba and the voice actor behind that was the Home Improvement star, Jonathan Taylor Thomas. So it wasn't really, we just did an exclusive interview with Jason Weaver on Shadow and Act, and he was telling us that it wasn't until other members of the Black community found out that Jason Weaver was actually the singer behind Simba and I Just Can't Wait to Be King that the mainstream started to understand that he was actually the voice because he was not a part of that promotional tour. So to have someone like J.D. McCrary playing and singing the role of Simba and to have Shahadi Wright doing this now and Donald Glover as Simba and Beyonce as adult Nala, I think that there's just an amazing improvement upon the original film that was, I believe, to be a slight. Jason Weaver is such an sweet, humble person, and he felt no slight by Disney. But we definitely, you know, as fans of his work as a child actor, know that he could have done both of those parts incredibly well.
We'll be
so
getting to know.
This is great.
Yeah, we'll be getting to know J.D. McCrary and Shahadi Wright Joseph as our hour goes on. I know that this is an unusual meeting of the 1A Movie Club, but I should still get your review of the film. Some of our listeners sent in theirs, and we'll share them as the hour goes on. But Brooker, I'm wondering, how many stars out of five would you give this version of The Lion King, and why?
I would give this version 4 stars. Like I said, I mean, it definitely improved in really important ways on the original masterpiece. Besides the cast, there's also the CGI. It's so gorgeous. It does transport you to this place. But also the original had some kind of problematic issues. There was the hyena Ed. There was just some ableism going on there. Disney kind of has this trope of using an animal with a disability as a punchline.
Ed was the one who was just kind of going,
yes,
making noises
exactly.
Without really speaking.
Exactly. Right. And so, you know, we've
By the
seen
way,
that
I horrified everybody in the control room with my Ed impression. I'm sorry, guys. I apologize. Go ahead, Brooke.
But yes, you know, we've seen that before in other Disney movies like Moana. We've seen it in Coco. So it's just kind of this trope that has happened in Disney animated movies. But, you know, now we have Eric Andre playing this version of Ed, and he's no longer an ableist joke. And I think that is a great improvement. Also, I mean, I know people were criticizing the appearance of Scar, but I also think this is an improvement upon the original because you had Scar in the original with a darker skin tone. He's got this black hair, and that was, you know, darkness was supposed to signal evil. You know, Scar is the evil one, so we're going to make him darker than Mufasa and Simba and all the rest of the lions so that you can clearly see he's the bad one. And so I think that this is an improvement in this live action version because he's not, there's no message that darkness equals evil, you know? So this is a movie that's set in Africa and celebrates, you know, celebrates that. So that message of darkness equaling evil just doesn't belong in this movie. So I really appreciated that as well.
Also,
and, you know, there's, oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to note that also the character's name is different in this movie. Eric Andre is the hyena that he plays is named Azizi, and the other hyena that he kind of bounces off of that he clearly is getting too close in the personal space of is Keegan-Michael Key playing Kamari. By the way, I forgot to mention at the top of this hour, we will be discussing this version of The Lion King, spoilers and all. So if you have not seen this version, and yes, there are some key differences between this and the one that came out in the mid-90s, if you haven't seen it yet, you'll find this entire conversation online later on at the1a.org. I did also want to ask you, Brooke, about some of the differences with the original. Well, here's a quick side-by-side comparison of a scene from the original and the remake. We'll switch from one to the other about 30 seconds in. This is the scene kind of at the beginning of Act 2 where Pumbaa and Timon discover Simba in the desert. You'll hear the 90s version first and today's version after that.
Buzzards!
Gets them every time!
Uh-oh! Hey, Timon! You better come look! I think it's still alive!
Alrighty, what do we got here? lion. Run, Pumbaa, move it.
Hey, Timon, it's just a little lion.
Look at him.
He's so cute and all alone. Can we keep him?
Can we please keep him? Okay. I promise. I'll walk him every day. If he makes a little mess, I'll clean it up.
You'll be his little mess. He's gonna eat you and then use my body as a toothpick.
But one day, when he's big and strong, he'll be on our side.
I've got it. What if he's on our side? Hear me out! Having a ferocious lion around might not be such a bad idea.
Well then, can we keep him?
Yes, of course we can keep him!
Well,
God, who is the brains of this operation?
We're gonna name him Fred!
That was Nathan Lane and Ernie Sabella as Timon and Pumbaa from the original, and then Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen in the remake. Before we pause, Brooke, were there any other major similarities from the original to the remake that you thought stood out?
Well, I mean, they're pretty much shot by shot as far as, you know, the CGI goes in the live action. I mean, they're very, very similar in that way. But yeah, I mean, I loved that scene that you just played. I think Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen nailed it. They were hilarious. This is just, I definitely think that's another way that this kind of improved on the original. They were so funny together.
Plenty of great stories from several of you in reactions. Jackie commented on Facebook, all Billy Eichner all day. The highlight of this movie. We're speaking to Brooke Obie of Shadow and Act. Momentarily, we will get to know J.D. McCrary, who played young Simba in The Lion King. We'll get to more of your questions, thoughts, and stories in just a moment. I'm Joshua Johnson, and you're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.
It needs no worries for the rest of your day.
Kid.
It's a problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata.
This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson. Today, the Movie Club is discussing The Lion King, this 1994 original and the 2019 remake, and how they compare. Glad to get some of your reviews of the new movie, the one that came out last weekend. Here's what Sean left in our inbox.
I give The Lion King 3 out of 5 stars. It was an almost perfect shot-for-shot and line-for-line remake of the original that added in some use of Broadway lyrics from the musical, as well as meta-humor, to keep it fresh and updated. My favorite scene was probably when they sang Be Our Guest when they were trying to distract the hyenas. I thought that was a really clever and fun poke at Disney itself.
Yeah, I love that scene too, Sean. Thanks for that message. We're discussing the new Lion King with Brooke Obie, managing editor of Shadow and Act. And again, last warning, we will be discussing this remake, spoilers and all. And yeah, I know, if you saw the movie in 94, you're thinking, I already know the story. What could there possibly be new? Okay, hold that thought, because there's some significant differences. And if you don't want to have that spoiled for yourself, you may want to listen to this conversation later online at the1a.org. Let me get to a few of your comments before we bring in our next guest. Alan tweeted, I must have been 6 or 7 when I got to see the original version of The Lion King. I remember being scared of Scar, and his villainy was something to see. 2019's remake feels more like a nature documentary that happens to have famous celebrities, while the original is more gripping. Brooke, that's something that's come up in several comments in a lot of ways. Noelle wrote on our Facebook page, my children's daycare rented a theater for a private party, so I was in a theater with a bunch of preschoolers. They were delighted, and honestly, I was too. The Lion King was the first movie I saw in theaters, and I wore out our VHS from too much use. I agree the eyes and therefore expression were a bit cold, but they were not so much a caricature as the cartoon was. Brooke, what about that? There have been a number of professional movie critics who have pointed out that the realistic imaging of the characters changes some of the emotion, or maybe loses some of the emotion on especially the lions' faces. What did you think?
I think that that is a real possibility that happens with CGI. But I also watched, I was at the premiere, and there were a lot of children at that premiere in LA, and they were crying their eyes out, I mean, audibly. So, I mean, I think that the emotion was conveyed. I definitely felt it, particularly when Mufasa died, to see that in CGI, and it looked so real. I mean, it kind of adds like a different layer of devastation to that. So, I mean, we were definitely laughing in our theater. It was, I think, an incredible experience. And I think the intention behind these films was to be remade, you know, every 10 years or so, I believe, so that a different generation can experience it. And so for those people who had such a love for that original, they can always go back and watch it. It's available, you know, but to allow for a different experience in a different format for a new generation to experience, I think is only a good thing, particularly with the improvements that it made on some of the problematic elements of the original.
With regards to the emotional impact of it, including the scene where Mufasa is killed, Betty tweeted, "I didn't know the emotion it would bring out in my four-year-old at the dad's death. His father was gone for a year, and when it occurred, he screamed uncontrollably in a packed theater. The only one. Such pain." The young actor who has to play in that scene in the remake is J.D. McCrary. He plays young Simba in the new Lion King movie. He's 12 years old and joins us now also from West Hollywood. J.D., welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hello.
First of all, congratulations. How does it feel to be a part of this movie?
Oh, it feels so amazing just to be a part of a Disney movie at all, but being a part of one of my favorites and being Simba in the movie is such a blessing and an honor.
First of all, let me just say, you did a great job in this movie. I really liked your performance. I thought you took something that was a big deal that a lot of people, a lot of adults, people my age for sure, really have super strong feelings about and kind of made it your own. Talk about the way you approached this character. Were you aware when you got the job about how big a deal The Lion King is to so many people?
Yeah, I had that in my mind. I knew that everyone loves The Lion King. I love The Lion King. My mom does, my dad does, my brother, my cousins, my aunties. Everyone does. And, you know, it's always been one of my favorite Disney movies. And so just recording it was really cool. And I don't know if you were going to ask if I was nervous, but I wasn't.
You were not nervous?
No.
How were you not nervous?
Well, I guess my quote of the day is, everyone is human, so if I do make a mistake, it won't be too bad. Boom. That's my quote. And that's what I stand by, and that's why I wasn't nervous. Because I knew that if I were to make a mistake, it wouldn't be too horrible.
That quote is smarter than anything any guest has ever said on this program, J.D.
Really?
I have to say. Yeah, well, certainly up there. But I'm wondering how you kind of came into that, especially when you first learned that you had landed this role. Did you kind of have to figure out what your mindset was going to be dealing with it? It must have been exciting to find out you got the part.
Yeah, it was super exciting finding out that I got the part of Simba in The Lion King. Yeah, it was really cool.
And were you settled in terms of like, well, it's going to be what it is, or was there any nervousness going into it?
No, there was no nervousness. I was really excited to do it. And I guess I was like, yeah, here it is. I'm going to do it. So I wasn't that nervous, though.
Let me play two clips. One from, since we were talking about the death scene in the gorge, let's play the 1994 version from the original and then the version that you were in the 2019 remake. First, here is the version with Jonathan Taylor Thomas as young Simba and Jeremy Irons as Scar from the original Lion King.
Well, I'd better go get him.
I'll go with you.
No. No. Just stay on this rock. You wouldn't want to end up in another mess like you did with the hyenas.
You know about that?
Simba, everybody knows about that.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Lucky Daddy was there to save you, eh? Oh, and just between us, you might want to work on that little roar of yours, hmm?
Oh, okay. Hey, Uncle Scar, will I like the surprise?
Simba, it's to die for.
Those were Jonathan Taylor Thomas and Jeremy Irons in the 1994 version of The Lion King. Here is the 2019 remake with Chiwetel Ejiofor as Scar and J.D. McCrary as young Simba.
This gorge is where all lions come to find their roar.
All lions? Even my dad?
Even Mufasa came here when he was your age. Refused to leave until his roar could be heard above the rim.
All the way up there?
That's when you know you've found it. With a little practice, you'll never be called a cub again.
Watch this.
You'll get it, Simba. Just takes time. I'll check on you later.
Dad will be so proud, won't he?
It's a gift he'll never forget.
Chiwetel Ejiofor as Scar and J.D. McCrary as young Simba. J.D., what was it like to shoot that scene?
Oh, it was really cool shooting that scene. Like, what specific scene do you mean? Like,
well, in terms
from
of,
there to when he died?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of having to figure out how you were going to approach it, how you were going to perform it, how you were going to speak it. Like, talk about the process of doing that scene.
Well, the process of doing that scene, it wasn't too different than any other ones. It was just different lines and a different scene. But I didn't really have any crazy strategy of what to do in that scene. I just felt it out pretty much. I was just doing what I felt was right.
I wonder what it was like doing the part where Mufasa is dead and you have to kind of, you know, play that pain. You know, a lot of adult actors will say that they reflect on things in their real life, real pain in their real life, and use that. They kind of bring that forward to play pain in a character's life. You're pretty young, so I don't know what your background is, but how did you figure out the right way to do that?
Well, all I had to do was cry on the spot, and how I cried on the spot was I just thought of, like, my dad getting hurt or something like that, because I really love my dad and I look up to him. We're very close. It's my guy. And so I just thought of something like that, and I cried. It worked.
That must have been kind of hard, having to cry and maybe having to do it over and over.
I did it twice. I didn't do it like 5 times or anything. I just did it twice. And I guess I did it right those 2 times because, yeah, it worked. And it's in the movie. So it wasn't too hard doing it so many times, but just doing it at all was a little challenging.
Was that your roar that we heard?
Well, was it? Let me think about that. I don't think it was, but I think it was because Mr. Favreau had us do like a few roars, and I don't know if that was me, because it might have been, but it couldn't have been. That's kind of confusing.
Well, give me a roar. Let me hear yours. What's it like?
Okay, I can do like a normal roar or something like that.
No, I mean the roar. Like, give me, come on, like it blow my hair back. Give me a roar.
Roar.
Okay, that's
that was kind of like a dinosaur thing.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, so the Jurassic Park 3, you're gonna be in that cast. But that's pretty good. That's pretty good. We're speaking to J.D. McCrary, the actor who played young Simba in The Lion King, alongside Brooke Obie, managing editor of Shadow and Act. J.D., do you have a favorite scene in the movie, either to have performed or to watch in the final version?
Actually, my favorite scene to perform was the crying scene, because I really felt like I was acting there, and I was really proud of myself. But my favorite scene to watch was when I met Timon and Pumbaa, because that was, like, really cool. And also, no, my favorite scene to watch was when Timon and Pumbaa brought him into, like, their jungle little place, and there were all these other animals, because my brother was in that scene, and I got to hear his voice before it changed. And so I thought that was pretty cool.
Your brother was in that scene?
And that was also a really great scene. Yes, he was.
What character did your brother play?
He was the character, he only had like 2 lines, and he was the person that said, "And don't eat us." That was my brother.
I'm Joshua Johnson. You're listening to 1A. Let me get to a few of your comments on the movie. Karen wrote on our Facebook page, "The Lion King was the best thing to ever happen for those of us who've taught Shakespeare's Hamlet. Before, students have read one word. All I have to say is, who's seen The Lion King?" Sandra wrote on our Facebook page, "My 5-year-old daughter and I enjoyed it. As a 90s kid, I grew up with The Lion King. It's definitely different from the original, but beautiful in its own way. I will say that part one of the movie was a bit like watching a really long kitten video, and part two was like watching Planet Earth the musical." Brooke, we mentioned that a lot of the critics did not have the most positive things to say about the realistic style of the movie. I was kind of surprised to see that the remake has a 52% score on Rotten Tomatoes, 93% for the original. Of course, the higher number is better. Here is director Jon Favreau and what he had to say about remaking this film.
I think the original film holds up incredibly well, as does the stage production. And I felt that now, here we are, 25 years later, we have the opportunity to explore what new technologies have to offer and the way a new cast could interpret the songs and the roles. We really efforted to give it a live-action feel so that it could sit against the catalog of other live-action Disney remakes of animated classics.
That's Jon Favreau, who directed this remake of The Lion King. We heard from some of you about the way that the remake kind of struck you, and some of you didn't really, it didn't click for you, let's say. One member of the 1A Text Club wrote, "I think it's a pathetic attempt to capitalize on the nostalgia of adults, but not offering anything original. It makes me extremely sad to know that this will be the formula for the death of cinema, a cash grab corporate synergy artistic experience." Brooke, I wonder how you react to that. I think I understand where this listener is coming from in terms of being in some ways a shot-by-shot remake of the original. On the other hand, this isn't a movie for grown-ups. This is a movie for children.
Absolutely. And like I said, there were plenty of children in the premiere in the theater that I saw this at, and they loved it. And so I think adults can have the critiques. I mean, it's a part of the business. I think it, you know, Disney should also be critiqued. I think that it's just, it was a beautiful experience that a lot of children really, really enjoyed. And there was actually new elements to it. I definitely think there was improved comedy with Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen. Beyonce added her new song, which was an amazing song, and then came out with this companion album as well. I think the best thing about cinema is that it impacts you beyond your actual experience in the theater. And so for Beyonce to create this companion album, it allows you to continue to relive the experience over and over and over again. And I think that's an incredible thing.
We will hear some of that new song called Spirit a little bit later on in the hour. JD, I wonder what your reaction is to some of the criticism to the movie, to the people who say, yeah, it's a decent remake, but it's not as good as the original. How did you react to that?
Well, you know, I understand their perspective on it, but I don't understand why they think that. I heard that someone said that it's only for kids and it's not for adults. And I don't understand that because, you know, it's kind of shot for shot, but it's a little different because we have different actors in there and some were improvising. But I just don't understand why they think it's, you know, it's not for adults or anything. But
what, do you have anything, as you look back on your character, do you have anything in common with your character, young Simba? Do you see yourself through him?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I could see myself through him.
In what ways?
Well, I look up to my dad as he does. I'd say I'm pretty brave. I would say that. I have courage. And I think that's it.
Well, JD, I'm wondering if you kind of understand the impact that you're having being, you know, you're like the first Black Disney prince. You know, Jason Weaver was only able to sing the role of Simba, but you get to do both of those roles and to be out here on the promotional tour. So I'm wondering if you understand what this like means to the Black community that you get to be Simba.
Yeah, now that I think about it, yeah, that is pretty impactful that I'm Black and I'm playing Simba and I'm the main role. I'm singing and acting in the movie. So that's a huge honor just to be a part of that. And yeah, that's a huge blessing. Thank you for telling me that. I gotta think about that now.
Before we let you go, JD, what's next for you? Have you figured out what your next role is going to be? I don't know if you're allowed to talk about it, but what's your next move?
Well, nothing in store yet, but I do want to be Miles Morales from, you know,
yes,
Spider-Man. I want to be him. I think I can. I'm sure I can play him. He's 13. I'm 12. Yeah, I'll eventually be 13, so I think that'll work. I do want to play Miles Morales, though.
Miles Morales would be pretty awesome. For those of you who don't know, Miles Morales is the character who becomes Spider-Man after Peter Parker. There was an animated film this year called Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. We reviewed it on the Movie Club, and you'll find that online at the1a.org. J.D. McCrary plays young Simba in the Disney remake of The Lion King. J.D., congratulations on the film. We are very, very proud of you. Thank you for talking
to us. Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
The actress who played young Nala, Shahadi Wright Joseph, will join us in just a minute, and we'll get to some more of your questions and thoughts in just a moment. Stay close.
Just can't wait to begin.
Back now to our conversation with Brooke Obi, managing editor of Shadow and Act. Let me get to a few of your comments before we bring in our next guest. One member of the 1A Text Club writes, two of my daughters, 8 years apart in age, loved The Lion King. That meant years of watching the movie over and over, and of course, listening to the soundtrack repeatedly, too. One of them, now 19 and in college, was thrilled to watch this new release in Ghana, while we watched it here in the U.S. It felt like a reunion. M.M. Hines tweeted, the first time I ever saw a straight-up murder in a kid's film. Scar just picks up Mufasa and throws him to his death. The movie even follows Mufasa down while he screams. Brutal. One listener tweeted, the first song I ever cried to was Circle of Life. John commented on our Facebook page, too many Disney remakes and too short a window of time has diminished the appeal of seeing any of them for me, so I haven't. Brooke, could you react to John? There have been remakes of Aladdin, Alice in Wonderland, Beauty and the Beast. There's a live-action Little Mermaid coming soon. Mulan is coming next year. What's your take on these remakes?
So I actually think the remakes are a very good thing because a lot of the Disney movies that we all grew up with and loved were extremely problematic. And I think that remaking them gives an opportunity to correct some of those things. So when you look at Aladdin, I think Aladdin is a great example of this live action remake that addressed a lot of the sexism in the original. There was some racism in the original. And so those things, by changing the lyrics, by changing the words that the actors were speaking, giving the Princess Jasmine the autonomy that she needed and the agency that she needed to actually take her place as Sultan and not be so concerned about, you know, who she's going to marry, I think was a wonderful change. And so having these opportunities, like I was saying about even The Lion King, you know, not putting out the message that, you know, darker skin equals evil, like they did with Scar in the cartoon, I think that that's a great thing. I think not having ableism with the new character that Eric Andre is playing, I think that's a great thing. So I'm very much looking forward to these live action remakes, especially with Halle Bailey being Black Ariel for The Little Mermaid. We haven't had these opportunities to have young Black Disney princes and princesses. And so I think this is an amazing opportunity to right some wrongs.
And just to be clear, you said Halle Bailey, not Halle Berry.
Yes.
Right. Just to be clear, it's in case somebody was half hearing it on the radio. And yeah, I mean, I remember when Aladdin first came out, there's that line in the song Arabian Nights, which opens the film, that says, oh, I come from a land from a faraway place where the caravan camels roam, where they cut off your ear if they don't like your face. It's barbaric, but hey, it's home. And by the time the movie reached video, they changed the lyric to say, I come from a land from a faraway place where the caravan camels roam, where the sun is immense and the heat is intense. It's barbaric, but hey, it's home. So that reference to, like, cutting off somebody's ear was something that Disney had to grapple with and say, well, let's just change this for the second version.
Right. But I mean, they actually took that completely out in the live action, because still saying that, you know, Arabia is barbaric is still a problem. Like, it was just like, you're almost there, Disney. Can you just get there? And I think, you know, they finally got there, you know, is it 20 years later. So I think having more inclusion in the room, in the writer's room, being able to listen to the critiques that have been happening of Disney movies over the years and actually taking that to heart and making these changes is really important and should be commended.
Where's the line for you, Brooke? I mean, the trailer for the new Mulan played before Lion King. I am there for the new Mulan. I cannot wait to see this movie.
It looks amazing.
It looks incredible, but it's such a different, if the trailer is a reflection of the movie, it looks more like an action drama with Mulan as this really tough kind of, like, you know, sword-wielding, you know, hero, as opposed to being more comedic, Eddie Murphy as the talking dragon, dishonor on you, dishonor on your cow, a very different film. Where's the line for you in terms of remaking versus completely reimagining a story, maybe even denaturing a story?
Right. I loved Mulan so much. I think that that may have been my favorite Disney movie growing up. And so when I did hear that, you know, they weren't going to have the talking dragon, I was a little disappointed, and they weren't going to have the song Be a Man. Like the songs weren't going to be the same. I was like, what is happening? But I also learned that what they are doing with this live action Mulan is making it true to the actual story. Mulan was an actual person. And so however they Disneyfied it for the movie, they are actually sticking to her actual story and bringing that to life. And I think that that is beautiful. And so, again, the original exists. We can always go back and watch that if that's what we want to do. But to allow for the true history of these stories that kind of been whitewashed for the sake of, you know, the times and for Disney's commodification of this story, I think that it's great that they are going back and they're actually making this change and introducing who the actual Mulan was to this new generation and to the older generation that didn't actually know or didn't go actually research Mulan after we watched the movie.
All right, we got to know young Simba just a moment ago. Now let's get to know young Nala. Joining us from NPR New York is Shahadi Wright Joseph. She plays young Nala in The New Lion King. Prior to that, she co-starred in the horror movie Us. Shahadi, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Congratulations on being young Nala. What did it mean for you to be able to play that role?
Well, The Lion King was one of my favorite Disney movies growing up, so it is such an honor to be able to be in a movie that I've looked up to for so long. So it just feels fantastic.
Do you remember what The Lion King meant to you when you first saw it?
Definitely. I think that The Lion King actually inspired me to start acting because I saw young Nala on the screen and I really wanted to be her or I wanted her to be me or, you know, anything. I just wanted to be a young lion. So I think that's what inspired me to start acting. So I'm really grateful for the film.
Talk about how you approached playing young Nala. There was already, obviously, this well-known classic version of that character. Mm-hmm. How much did you decide you needed to be like the original, pull away from the original? How did you think that through?
I mean, well, I think that all of the cast members tried to make the characters as authentic as possible, but we also wanted to, you know, make sure that people can differentiate between the original and the remake. So I think that we really tried to add our own spin to it and add our own personalities. And as you can hear, Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner added, you know, their own comedy and, you know, improvisation. So I think that those were some of the little things that we tried to add, but still tried to make the movie true to itself.
What did you try to add to young Nala of yourself?
Well, I think that I tried to add a lot of my personality to it, and also just some little characteristics that would make Nala a role model for kids who didn't grow up with the original movie. So I think that I tried to make her a little bit more confident, more sassy, more intelligent, and something that I can look up to and for other people to look up to.
There were also parts of your performance, Shahadi, that I noticed that audiences reacted to differently from the original, like the scene where Simba and Nala end up going to the elephant graveyard, Mufasa saves them, they're walking home. That line, "I thought you were very brave," in the original is very somber. But the way you said it, it got a little bit of a laugh, I noticed, when she said, "I thought you were very brave."
Yeah,
like, it was different.
I think so. I was also on Broadway, so that line that I did on Broadway also got a lot of laughs.
You were in the musical version of The Lion King?
I was when I was 9, so I got to experience that as well.
So you had a long history with this story.
Yeah, I do. Yes.
Do you ever get tired of it?
Not really. I think that since it was one of my favorite movies, I can really never get tired of it.
Let me play a clip from Chiwetel Ejiofor, who plays Scar in the remake. He told Rotten Tomatoes what his favorite scene in the movie is.
I think for both of them, you know, I always respond to Simba returning home, you know, and that just that sense of those kind of journeys and the journey of life and just sort of either, you know, just physically or psychologically, that idea of reconciling oneself to home in some way is part of all of our journeys.
That's Chiwetel Ejiofor, who plays Scar in the new version of The Lion King. Shahadi, do you have a favorite scene in the movie, a movie that means the most to you?
Ooh, I think that my favorite scene has to be either Hakuna Matata or Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Why is that?
I love those two scenes. Well, I love the visuals that they used in Can You Feel the Love Tonight. In the original and the remake, I thought that it was really, really beautiful, and I love the duet that Beyoncé and Donald Glover did. And I like Hakuna Matata as well because it's really catchy, and I love how Simba clicks with Pumbaa and Timon really quickly. And I love the transition from him as a kid and going into his adult life.
Yeah, I got to say, there weren't a lot of people in the theater. I went to go see it last night. There weren't a lot of people who could resist going like, no. They tried. They exactly. Thought they were under their breath. They were not under their breath. With that clip that we just played, I wonder how you look at the deeper meaning that some people take away from The Lion King. One member of our 1A text club wrote, I saw The Lion King on Friday. First time seeing it in any of its iterations. I'm 75. I just loved it. Wholesome, old-fashioned, good over evil. Unashamedly cried at the death scene and again at the end with a few sprinkles in between. That is to say, I loved it. Shahadi, what's your sense of the meaning of the message that people take away from this story?
Yeah, well, I love the morals and the messages of the film. And as you said, yes, there are some deeper meanings to the story. And I think that that is why a lot of people love the movie. You know, it's about family and it's about remembering where you come from. So I think that that is definitely something that Disney did an amazing job with, you know, giving messages to kids and adults, something that we can all relate to and that we can all come together with. So that's why I love those messages.
We're speaking to Shahadi Wright Joseph, who plays young Nala in The New Lion King, along with Brooke Obi from Shadow and Act. I'm Joshua Johnson, and you're listening to 1A. Brooke, let me ask you about that companion album. We referenced it earlier that Beyoncé released. It came out on the same day as the movie. It's called The Lion King, The Gift. Here's Beyoncé talking about that album to ABC.
The soundtrack is a love letter to Africa. A lot of the drums, the chants, all of these incredible new sounds mixed with some of the producers from America, we've kind of created our own genre. And I feel like the soundtrack, it becomes visual in your mind. It's a soundscape. It's more than just the music because each song tells the story of the film.
That's Beyoncé speaking to ABC about the companion album to The New Lion King called The Lion King, The Gift. Brooke, we've seen more of these companion albums lately. Kendrick Lamar did an album that went along with Black Panther. There was also a companion album that went along with Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. What's the impact of these albums on the film?
Well, I mean, I definitely think what Beyoncé has done with The Gift, it allows you to experience the film outside of the theater. And that's my favorite part about movies is that they stick with you and you get to you take them with you wherever you go. And so having this music, it brings it back into your mind. Like Beyoncé was saying, like it is a soundscape. Like you can actually visualize and remember, oh, especially when you hear Spirit, I know exactly what was happening in the movie at that time, or hearing these interludes from the movie throughout the album. It really does add to that experience. And I think the difference between Beyoncé's album and maybe Kendrick Lamar's album for Black Panther, Beyoncé actually used so many African artists from across the diaspora to make this album come to life. You had Ghanaian dance hall, you had Nigerian singers. I mean, it was just amazing, an experience that allowed for the continent to actually come to life.
Shahadi, it's worth noticing that then in that album, Beyoncé kind of name drops Lupita Nyong'o in the song Brown Skin Girl. You co-starred with Lupita Nyong'o in Us. I wonder what it's been like for you to work along on projects alongside, you know, Lupita Nyong'o and Beyoncé and Alfre Woodard and others. What's that been like for you?
Right. It feels really amazing. And I'm so blessed to, you know, be compared and to be compared with these amazing names. So I'm really glad that I got to work with this A-list cast in Us and The Lion King. So I would definitely want to work with them again.
Before we go, we should play at least a little bit of the new song. This is Beyoncé's new track, Spirit, from the album The Lion King, The Gift. Spirit from Beyoncé's new album, The Lion King, The Gift. Before we go, Shahadi, what's next for you now that you've done The Lion King? Anything in your future that you can talk about if there aren't any secret projects coming up?
Right. I did just drop a single on the 12th called Skin I'm In.
Oh, wow.
And that was just exclusively debuted by Billboard. And that's on Spotify and all streaming platforms right now. So you guys can go check that out. But I am still auditioning and acting, and I'm up for a few projects, but I cannot talk about them right now.
Well, all the best to you, Shahadi. Shahadi Wright Joseph plays young Nala in the new Lion King movie. Shahadi, congratulations. Proud of you. So proud of you. And thanks for talking to us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
And Brooke Obi, managing editor of Shadow and Act. Brooke, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you so much for having me.
This conversation was produced by Avery Kleinman. To learn more about her and the rest of our team, visit the1a.org/staff. Remember, you can subscribe to 1A's podcast on NPR One or any app you like. You'll find all the links to listen online at npr.org/1A. We'll leave you with more of Spirit by Beyoncé, but I should tell you this program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. Todd Zwillick will be with you for the next few days, but until we meet again, I'm Joshua Johnson. Thank you so much for listening. This is 1A. Whoa.